The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
We are continuing with Hilchos Nidarim Ushvuos, with the laws of vows and oaths. We are in Siman Samech Zayin, Sif Ches. Ketzad Matrin Es HaNeder O HaShvua. How is one released from a neder or a shvua that he made? Holech So Shlosha Anoshim B'nei Torah. He has to go to three men who are considered B'nei Torah. V'achad Mehem Yibaki B'Hilchos Nedarim. And one of them must be an expert in the laws of Nedarim. Sheyeda Eze Neder Yechon Lahater. So that they would know which nidarim they could release him from, in which of them can they not release him from, and also how to release him, and then they can proceed and release him from his vows. Someone who made a vow in a dream, it is best that he does not suffice with going to a Beis Din of three men, but rather he should go to 10 B'nai Torah to release him from the vow that he made in the dream. Hataras Nedarim must be done by the person who made the Neder, and according to almost all poskim, he would not be allowed to make a shaliach, to have an agent do it on his behalf. According to most poskim, this is only a din derabbanan, because min haTorah he would be allowed to appoint a shaliach, but the rabbanan forbade it. Still, there are certain situations where we say, at least b'shas hadchak, that a person would be allowed to appoint a shaliach to do the hatara on his behalf. For example, if someone was mafish trumas and maishras and then wants to release his designation of the produce as trumas and maishras, so that might be an example of where he would be allowed to appoint an agent. In any case, if a person needs a translator in order to convey his request to Beis Din, certainly that he would be allowed to do if the translator is standing right next to him and translates his version on his behalf. Now, another exception to the rule where a person is allowed to have someone else represent him for his Hataras Nedarim would be that a woman is allowed to ask her husband to be her agent on her behalf, so that he can approach Beis Din on behalf of his wife to be matter the nidarim that she made. In the Tshuvas Be'er Yitzchak, he brings down that a woman is also allowed to be the agent on behalf of her husband, so that if he makes the vow, he can appoint her the shaliach that she should request Hatara from the Beis Din. When Hataras Nedarim is done, the custom is that the person who's asking for the Hatara is supposed to stand. However, in the event that he did sit, or that he would need to sit, then it would be permissible for him to sit when he requests the Hatara. The minhag is also that the three Dayanim sit at the time, even though technically they would be allowed to stand. There's even a machlokus among the Rishonim if the Dayanim can release a person from his vow if they were walking at the time. The Me'iri in the Nedarim brings down two opinions in this matter. The halacha is that the person who is asking for his vows to be released must specify what the vows were that he made. However, it is sufficient that he details them to one of the three Dayanim And he doesn't necessarily have to say it to all three. There's a machlokis haposkim. What happens if a person neglected to detail his vows? Whether b'di'eved it is still valid. Still, the Rishonim point out that in a situation where he's now asking Hatara for a particular neder, but he's asking Hatara for all of the nedarim that he may have made, which he forgot about, then that would be valid even though he did not specify the particular nedarim. And this is, in fact, what we do traditionally on Erev Rosh Hashanah, is that we're matir neder, even those nedarim that we are not aware of. Who is eligible to serve on the Beis Din in order to do Hatoras Nedarim? We normally have a rule that the Dayanim, the judges, who serve on a Beis Din may not be related to any of the parties involved, and they may not be related to each other. However, the Gemara says that when it comes to Hatoras Nedarim, the Dayanim are permitted to be related to the one who's coming to have his vows released, and they can also be related to each other. So that, for example, if a person would want to release his vows, he'd be allowed to go to a Beis Din consisting of his three brothers. However, there's one exception to the rule, and that is that there's a dispute among the Rishonim whether a woman may go to her husband to release her vows. Again, we're not discussing hafaras nedarim, the annulment of the vows, but rather hataras nedarim, releasing her of her vows. And if her husband would be serving on the Beis Din of three people, some Rishonim say that that is permissible, but the Shulchan Aruch does not paskin that way. According to the Shulchan Aruch, the husband may not be on the Beis Din of three to release her of her vows. Altogether, there's a dispute among the poskim whether the dayanim who sit on the Beis Din would be invalidated through averos that they did, just like we find by the normal rules of Beis Din. Again, there are different opinions in this matter. However, even though there are questions about whether or not such psulim may sit on the Beis Din, there is no question that women and children cannot be members of the Beis Din. In fact, even though we say that a boy who is already age 12, his vows are considered to be vows, nevertheless, a 12-year-old cannot be one of the judges on the Beis Din. There's another thing that's clear in the Mishnah, and that is that a person cannot release himself of his vows, so that the Beis Din may not include the individual who is asking for the Hatara. It has to be three people without him. There's also a dispute among the poskim as to whether the Dayanim are legitimate if they have a vested interest in releasing the individual from his vows. Lehalacha, the Aruch HaShulchan says that it is proper to be strict not to go to such judges, but according to many poskim, there's no problem with it. In Halacha Tes, we discuss the nedarim and shvuos that are made by children. Afal pi sheleinyan ko ha-mitzvah shebetorah, ein ha-ben nasa gadol, even though that is true regarding all of the mitzvahs in the Torah, that we say that a boy is not considered an adult until he is 13 years of age, and he has already produced the bodily hairs which demonstrate him to be as mature as an adult, v'habas ein gedola and a girl is not considered an adult until she is 12 years of age and she has brought the physical signs of maturity. That's only true regarding other mitzvahs in the Torah. Aval le'inyan neder ushvua, but when it comes to the principles of vows and oaths, yesh lahem kedima shana echas, the children are considered adults 1 year earlier, which means to say, shehakatan ben shteim esrei shana v'yom echad, that a boy, when he is 12 years and a day, he's considered an adult. V'haketana, and a girl, bas achas esrei shana v'yom echad, when she is 12 years old and a day, she's considered an adult. Afilu lo hevio simanim, even though they did not bring any of the physical signs of maturity. Im mevinim l'shem mi nadro v'nishbo, if they understand the significance of their nidarim and shvuos, nidron neder ushvuasan shvua, so then we consider their nidarim to be true binding nidarim, and their shvuos to be true binding shvuos. Aval pechuse mizmanze, but any less than this age, meaning a boy who is under the age of 12 and a girl who is under the age of 11, afilo mevinim, even if they have a full understanding of the consequences of what they're doing, ein divrayim klum, their words have no significance and they are not binding. Umikal makam, nevertheless, goyrim behen umakinasam, we still discipline them, and we would strike them, shelo yargilo lishonam binidarim ushvuos, so that they do not become accustomed to making nidarim and shvuos when they're old. V'im hu davar katan v'kal, if it's a small matter, a minor matter, that they made their neder or shvua about, she'ein bo ino nefesh, which does not involve any personal affliction, gozrin aleihem sheyikaimu, so then they would decree upon the children that they would be required to keep it. This is in order to instill within them the seriousness of what's involved in making a neder or a shvua. In the Gemara Yerushalmi, there is a question whether goyim are obligated to keep any vows and oaths that they made. There seems to be a machlokes aposkim about the matter, but in practice, Rabbi Kiva Eger paskins that a ben noach is not required to keep his neder. However, many say that if a goy made a neder to be magdish something, to sanctify something for the Beis HaMikdash, so then he would be obligated to keep it, according to all opinions. There is some question among the Mefarshim as to at what age is the Nidarim of a Goy valid. Some say that if it's a male, it would be from the time he's age 12. Others say that as soon as he is a Bar Das, as soon as he has sophisticated enough intelligence to understand the significance of what he's doing, so then he would be considered that his Nidarim are valid. Halacha Yud. Ha'av mefer nidrei bito ad shetisbayer. A father is entitled to annul the vows of his daughter until she becomes a bogeres. What does that mean? Dehainu sheyila shteim esrei shana v'shisha chadashim. It means that she is already of 12 years and 6 months of age. For who shelo nises, this is only talking about where she did not get married earlier. Meaning that if she's already married, then he would not be entitled to annul her vows. V'habal mefer nidrei ishto, and a husband is entitled to annul the vows of his wife. Ketzad miferin, how do they annul their vows? Omer shlosh pa'amim, they say 3 times, mufar, it is annulled, o batel, or it is voided, Oshar Lashon, or some other language, Hamora, which conveys Shehu Oker Es Haneder Meikaro, that he is retroactively uprooting the vow, meaning to say that the vow never took effect. Bein Sheomer Kain Bifaneha, O Shelo Bifaneha. It doesn't matter whether he says this in front of her or not in front of her. Meaning that when a husband or a father does hafaras nidarim, that he knows the vows of his wife or daughter, it does not necessarily have to be in her presence. Aval lashon hatara lo mahani ba'av ubebal. However, the language of hatara, of releasing, which is the language that is used when a beis din releases someone from his vows, that would not work for a father or for a husband. V'gam ein yecholin lahafer rak biyom shamam. Also, another distinction between hatara and hafara is that the hafara that is done by a husband or by a father can only be done on the day that he hears about the vows. Dahainu, this means to say, im shomu b'tchilas halayla, if they hear about it at the beginning of the night, miferin ko halayla v'ko hayom shel achra, then they can annul the vows that whole night, as well as the entire day afterwards. V'im shomu b'yom samach l'tzei sakachavim, and if they heard in the daytime when it's close to nightfall, ein meferin rak atzei sakachavim, they can only annul the vows only until the three stars come out, signifying that it is nightfall. V'yoser einon yecholun lahafer, and afterwards they can no longer do the annulment. B'Shabbos lo yomer la mufar l'chi kimo b'chol. On Shabbos, he should not say to her that your vow is annulled, as he would say on a weekday. Ela mevato b'lo, but rather he should annul it in his heart. V'omer la, and he should say to her either tli, take this, ichli, eat this, ukiyotze b'zer, and things like this. In other words, he should use language which is not explicit that he has annulled her vows, but it should be conveyed indirectly. V'im ha'av o ha'bal omar t'chila shehu mirutza al ha'neder, and if the woman's father or husband says initially that he's satisfied with the neder that she made, even if he didn't say it explicitly, but rather he said a certain language that conveyed that he was satisfied, he was happy with the fact that she made the neder, v'afilo imrak belibo choshev shehu merutza benidra, and even if merely in his heart he felt that he was happy with her neder, even though he didn't say anything explicitly, shuv eino yochol lahafer, subsequently he would not be allowed to annul her vow, even though it's still on the same day. So once the husband or father is satisfied, is happy with the vow, then he can no longer annul it. V'imtosa ha'neder b'maseh, and if she made her neder dependent upon action, ayin shach simen reish la'medalet sifkat memhei, see what the shach says there about doing hafaras nedarim. The Gemara explains that the reason why hafaras nedarim works for a married woman is because whenever she makes a vow, she understands that she's doing it only if her husband approves. However, there's a fundamental difference between hafaras nedarim and hataras nedarim, and that is that hataras nedarim would release someone from their vows retroactively. And it is as if the person never made the neder in the first place. As opposed to hafaras nedarim, we say that until the husband is mefer, we say the vow is still binding. And even afterwards, it did not uproot it from before he did the hafara. So for example, if a woman makes a neder and she violates it, subsequently her husband hears about it and he does hafara, she might still receive malchus in the times of a beis din for her violating the vow before the hafara. Now the same thing is true about the daughter. We assume that when she makes a vow, she's doing it al das avia, with the understanding only that it's only valid if her father approves. Now what happens if a woman says that this was not her intent? If she says that she made a neder even if her father and husband do not approve? So the halacha is that they are still allowed to do hafaras nedarim. There's a machlokas rishonim whether a man is allowed to do hafaras nedarim even if he did not yet hear about the neder. According to the mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch, such a hafara is valid, so that if he says, I may for any nedarim that my wife may have made today, so that would be a valid hafara. However, the Ramah says that such a hafaras nedarim is not valid. In Halacha Yud Aleph, we discuss which types of vows is a husband or a father able to do hafara on. So he says, Eiz nedarim yocholun ha'av o habal lehafer. What types of vows can a father or a husband annul? Dafka dvarim sheyesh behem inui nefesh. Specifically, those matters which involve personal affliction. Kigon rechitza, for example, washing. No, she makes a vow that she's not going to wash herself for a certain amount of time. Kishut, adornment, where she says she's not going to adorn herself or won't adorn herself with a particular type of jewelry. Kichul, pirkus, these are different types of cosmetics that she's making a neder not to use. Ukiyotze bezeh, and anything of the sort. So these would be examples where even though the wife vowed to abstain from them, the husband is allowed to annul the vow. V'habal yochol lahafer gam dvarim, the husband is also able to annul those vows, she'ein bahem ino nefesh, that do not involve any personal abstinence, imehem min advarim she'bein ish le'ishto, if they are among those things that affect the husband-wife relationship, v'garmim eva b'nehem, and they would cause animosity between them. Avo elo einon mutarim elo kozman shi yosheves tachtov, but these would not be permitted except for when she is living together with him. Ula achash in this almana onis garsha, however, after she becomes widowed or divorced, asur behem, once again, she would be forbidden to them. So this type of release, this type of annulment that the husband would be making is not really permanent. This that the Kitzur writes, that a father is only allowed to do hafaras nedarim for his daughter's vows if they are of the type of nedarim which contain inui nefesh, the source of this can be found in the Sifri. However, the Rambam does not paskin this way. According to the Rambam, a father has the ability to be mefer any vows that his daughter makes, and he says from the fact that the Gemara, the Bavli, and the Yerushalmi do not bring down this halakha of the Sifri that indicates that they disagree. And we follow the Bavli and Yerushalmi and the Tosefta. There are those that follow this halakha, such as the Bach, and perhaps the Birka Yosef. But halakha l'maisa, the Aruch HaShulchan says that we follow the position that is mentioned here in the Kitta Shulchan Aruch, and that is that we are machmir, that a father cannot do afaros nedarim on any vows his daughter makes, rather just on those which involved ino nefesh. Now there's one more point that the Kitta doesn't make, and that is if it would be a vow that would be affect the father, that too he would be allowed to be made fair, even if it does not involve ino nefesh. It could be that the reason he doesn't mention this is because it's very unlikely for such vows to occur.